Many people dread having to convey their ideas to others in public. It's a frequent source of anxiety. Hello, my name is Chester Elton, and this is my dear friend and co-author, Adrian Gosling.
Well, thanks, Jess. Yeah, most of our professional and personal communication occurs in spontaneous situations, and those often can leave us flustered or stumbling for words. How can we rise to the occasion and shine when we're put on the spot? That's our topic for today. As always, we hope the time you spend with us will help reduce the stigma of anxiety at work and in your personal life.
And with us is our new friend, Matt Abrams. He's the author of the new book, Think Faster, Talk Smarter, How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. And boy, doesn't that happen to all of us. Matt is a lecturer in organizational behavior at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business, where he teaches popular classes in strategic communication and effective virtual presenting. And we can all need a lot of help doing that, Matt. So we are delighted to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for finding the time.
Thank you. I'm really excited to have a conversation with both of you. It seems like you don't have any fun, so I'm.
I'll try to bring a little.
No, it's exciting.
I mean, you wouldn't think, podcast and anxiety would be fun, but yeah, we try to make it that way. So let's talk about some anxiety here and why. Give us a little of the science of why does off-the-cuff speaking create such anxiety for people?
Well, the reality is any speaking causes anxiety, as you well know, planned or spontaneous. But particularly in those moments where we're put on the spot, not only do we have the normal fear that we experience, but we have this incredible pressure to respond right away and to respond as best we can. And that adds an extra burden to us. So many of us know what it feels like to be under the intense heat of that spontaneous spotlight. And there are things we can do to help reduce it and to actually perform quite well. But it is that intensity and the desire to respond right away that really caused the anxiety.
I mean, we've all heard the stats. People would rather, die than give a, they're more afraid of speaking than death and things like that. I mean, is there something in our nature that makes us this way? Why does this happen to us, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Those of us who study this believe that it's innate to being human. Part of being human is the fact that we get nervous when we're up in front of people. And it's a threat and our body responds in kind. It invokes the fight or flight response. That's why our heart pounds, we get shaky, dry mouth. All of that is designed to protect us under threat. And so even though it's part of our nature, we see it across every culture that's been studied. We see that it develops around a certain time in most cultures, right when kids become early teenagers. Even though all of that is part of us, we still can do things to help manage it.
I just want to say that, Chester, I think you're the only person I know that doesn't have this at all. If Chester sees a microphone, he's like a magnet. He is sucked towards it.
Have you always been that way, Chester, or is that something you learned over time?
Well, it's really interesting. In your book, you talk about early experiences that can really, cause you to be anxious because a teacher's embarrassed you. You had that example in your book and so on. So I'm the youngest of five boys and I come from a family of extraordinary extroverts. So being the youngest, I never got the microphone. So whenever there was any dead time, I was like, like white on rice, grabbing that thing to have my moment. And I come from, it's interesting when you talk about your history. My grandfather, David Horton Elton, was a renowned orator. He was part of, charities and so on. He was the mayor of Lethbridge and spoke often and was quite famous for it. And he passed that on to my father, John Dalton Elton, and my dad passed it on to my four brothers and myself. So it really is interesting. Dinner at my house is it's a real free-for-all. And, if there's an opening, it gets filled. My dad was in radio, and we call that dead air. And the dead air on radio is death, right? So there was never any dead air in the Elton household. That's more than you probably wanted to know about me, Matt. So thanks for that.
so there was an origin story, and it's fascinating that you had an orator in your family. My father was also an amazing speaker. So maybe there's something to the exposure and maybe even the biology of all of this.
I don't think there's any question, but you do talk about something in your book that is really counterintuitive that I thought was fascinating. You said in your research that introverts can have an advantage in business. Why is that?
Well, if you think about it, many of the characteristics of introversion, and by the way, introversion and anxiety, as you well know, are different. Right. But many of the things
it doesn't
Jess, so Jess, you're on the wrong, you're on the, you got the wrong script.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Sorry, we're going to have to redo that question, Matt.
Yeah, sorry about that. You know what? We've got Matt Pollard after you.
I see.
So,
all right, I have thoughts on introversion.
Oh, okay. But Adrian was shaking his head, and I thought, well, Adrian's the introvert. Maybe he doesn't agree. Here we go. You've got some. Okay, break. Okay. So, Matt, you've got some great techniques that you talk about in your book. You teach and help people to communicate more effectively, particularly when all eyes are turned to them and their anxiety starts to go up. Can you share a couple of those with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are many things we can do to manage our anxiety, and they fall into two big categories. They're the things we can do about mindset and the things we can do about messaging. So let me give you one or two from both of those categories. When it comes to anxiety and managing anxiety, the symptoms are the first thing we have to address, and then their sources as well. When it comes to symptoms, a deep belly breath seems to work best for most people. This is the kind of breath you take if you fill your lower abdomen. If you've ever done yoga or Tai Chi, it's one of those deep belly breaths, and all of the magic happens on the exhalation, not the inhalation. So the rule of lung, if you will, instead of the rule of thumb, is you want your exhale to be twice as long as your inhale. And that can help slow down your heart rate, your speaking rate, get rid of some of the shakiness. In terms of sources of anxiety, a big source has to do with the fact that we want to do our communication as perfectly as we can when we're put on the spot. We want to give the right answer, the best feedback, be the most interesting in small talk. And that puts a lot of pressure on us. So one way to reduce that is to strive not for perfection, but for connection. Communication is all about connecting. So if I put myself in service of my audience rather than in my head judging and evaluating everything I'm saying, I can actually do a better job. It's just like your computer or your phone. If you have lots of apps or windows open, each one of those is performing less well because of the other ones being there. If I'm constantly judging and evaluating everything I say to see if it's right, it actually gets in the way of me communicating and connecting. So we need to turn that volume down to give us more cognitive bandwidth to actually do what we want to do in communication, which is connect with people. So those are two big ways. And then the third way has to do with messaging. Many of us, when we're put on the spot in the moment, just list information. We just itemize our response. Our brains are not wired for lists. Instead, our brains are wired for structured information, information that's packaged with a beginning, a middle, and an end. So having a structure can help. Everybody listening is familiar with structure. If you've ever seen a television advertisement, you've seen problem, solution, benefit. There's an issue or problem, our product or service fixes it, and here's the benefit. That's a structure, and you can package your messages that way. So we manage some anxiety, we manage some of our approach and mindset, and then we also leverage messaging, we can do much better in these circumstances.
And I think this is going to lead into the question I wanted to ask you a little bit about is job interviews. You know, Chester and I, we do a lot of executive coaching. So maybe we'll be working with somebody who's about to get an interview for the big job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially if it's internal, they'll go, they know me, you know, and they don't put the preparation in. And you say, look, we can prepare to be spontaneous. Walk us through that idea.
Yeah. So this is there are two big counterintuitive ideas in my book and in the things I teach. One is that we can get better at this. Many people feel that, hey, I'm just born the way I am. I don't have the gift of gab. And that's absolutely false. All of us can get better. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the students and the people I coach. Absolutely. The other is this notion that preparation helps. So you can actually plan to be spontaneous. And all you have to do is think of an athlete. An athlete trains all the time. They do lots of drills. So when they're in the moment of the game and that happens spontaneously, they can respond. So when it comes to a job interview, there's lots you can do to prepare. Let me give you some ideas. One, you can think about relative to the job I'm applying for, what are two or three key themes or ideas I want to get across? So it might be that I'm very conscientious and detail oriented, or I know how to do this particular function in the role. Those are themes. And then for each theme, come up with three or four specific examples. It could be a story you tell, some data you give, maybe it's some kind of testimonial or award you've won. So for each theme, you stockpile very specific aspects that support it. So when you're in the moment getting an interview question, you simply have to recognize this question relates to this theme that I practice. And then I can pull in specific examples to help me answer it. It's just like an athlete who's on the field and recognizing the offense that's being run against them. And they say, I know that for this offense, I do this defense, and they can respond in the moment. So you can absolutely prepare to be spontaneous, and it works really well for job interviews.
I think that is such excellent advice, because you're right. So many of us, we pigeonhole ourselves. I'm not spontaneous. I'm not a people person. I'm not a whatever. And that practice makes all the difference. You know, I one of my favorite Larry Bird stories is during a game, he got knocked to the floor and got the ball and shot it in and made the basket. And the reporter later said, is that the luckiest shot you've ever made? And his answer was, you know, I find the more I practice, the luckier I get.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. And it is true. That concept of I can prepare to be spontaneous is really a nugget. And if you're listening to this, write that one down. That's a good one. You also talk about in one of your videos, and by the way, at the end of Matt's book, he's got a wonderful QR code. You should go to his website. And he's got these great little training videos. They're like 2 minutes long with great tips on how to be spontaneous, how to be prepared, how to speak. How to think faster and talk smarter. That just off the top of my head would be a great way to think about it. You talk about having some back pocket questions ready. Walk us through that idea.
Yes, absolutely. So whenever you are in a circumstance where you think spontaneous communication might happen, again, part of stockpiling is to think about some things that you could use. So if I'm going into a small talk situation, I can be thinking about things that I might want to bring up in terms of conversation or questions I might want to learn answers to. If I am in a situation where I might be calling on other people to ask me questions, so I've given a presentation and now I'm opening up the floor to questions, I can have a back pocket question at the ready. There is an incredible awkwardness that happens when you transition from broadcasting, from actually presenting, to listening to the audience, going from monologue to dialogue. So I might say, are there any questions out there about the topic I just covered? And nobody responds right away. Maybe they don't want to embarrass themselves. Maybe they don't have a question. And that awkwardness can be filled by a question you ask yourself. So a back pocket question is just one form of stockpiling. So I might say something like, a question I'm often asked about this topic is, and I essentially ask myself a question that I didn't then answer. And this actually greases the wheels to make it easier for me to take in other questions, because people don't like to go first, even if the first question came from me.
You know, you talk about dead air. That's what and you know, Adrian, you and I have had that happen a million times. And we'll do some Q&A. Well, let's open it up to Q&A. Anybody have a question for Adrian? And there's this and it's embarrassing for everybody, right? Because you're thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be this expert, and I'm thinking you're all going to. And then you've got that inner talk that said, well, maybe I'm not that smart. Maybe I'm not that bright. Maybe it wasn't as good a presentation. When, in fact, people in the audience are terrified to go first. I love that back pocket question. Let me ask you one other thing. One of my back pocket questions is, you know, in areas is, so tell me a little bit about how long you've been with your company and you know, what really excites you about your job.
Yeah,
I find that when you ask people about themselves and you give them context, then it does relax things and they can tell you their backstory. Is that a good back pocket question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're doing small talk, the goal of small talk, and I learned this from a guest on my podcast, her name is Rachel Greenwald. She's an academic and a matchmaker. And this point has stuck with me ever since I talked to her. The goal in small talk is to be interested, not interesting. We usually put a lot of pressure on ourselves to say something just amazingly valuable and relevant. And that makes it really hard to have small talk. Small talk is all about the back and forth that happens. So a question like you asked, tell me what you do in your job or what excites you about your work. That's a great way of demonstrating interest and getting the other person to speak. So yes, it's an absolute great back pocket question, and it follows the mantra, be interested, not interesting.
And it's better than your other one, Chess. Who did you vote for in the last election? I think that's a little touchy. Yeah, nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or what religion are you? I mean, that was probably a little over the...
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, how do people learn more about your work?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. So the best thing to do is to go to mattabrahams.com. I have a whole bunch of free resources there and access to lots of other materials. I'm also a huge user of LinkedIn. And so if you're on LinkedIn, please join me there and take a listen to the Think Fast, Talk Smart podcast. Just like your podcast, it's all about helping people feel more comfortable and confident in their communication.
Awesome. That's great. Lots of places to connect with Matt. We encourage you to do so. Hey, last question, a big question for me is managers. You know, a lot of people listening, you know, are managing teams, either small or big. How do they coach their team members? Maybe open up, because a lot of people, especially younger people we hear, they're so hesitant, I should say, to open up and really share what's on their minds.
Well, one, I think, is role modeling. I think good leaders demonstrate what it is they're asking others to do. So I think role modeling that is important. And then providing a safe space for people to do it. And then rewarding those who do. So, hey, thank you so much for sharing that. Or I love hearing your voice. It really helps in the decision-making process. And then simply calling it out. You know, I think what's really important for all leaders and for all companies is to put a focus on communication. I am often brought in as a consultant to fix the messes that happen when people don't do this. And the single best way to avoid the messes is to actually focus on communication, share its relevance, highlight when it's done well. And that's how you can help others feel more comfortable and confident in their communication and set your company up for success.
You know, you said something there that really resonated with me. I love hearing your voice. That is such a positive affirmation. You know, my wife and I had a dear friend that went through a very difficult divorce. And she said to us, she said, you know, I got to the point where I knew that my husband just hated the sound of my voice. Mm. And I thought, what a terrible situation to be in. And since then, it's so interesting. I'll often say to my wife, you know, I just love hearing your voice. So taking that into the workplace, I think, is a wonderful management tool to let people, because it does ease anxiety. And they say, oh, and they want to hear my voice. It's That's okay right. for me to speak up. Well, listen, this has really been a lot of fun. We're always interested in self-care. Mm-hmm. And Matt, you obviously are a very happy and engaged person. What are some of the rituals that you have to keep yourself, you know, keep your anxiety low, keep your energy high, and open to, you know, all the good things that can come out of work and life?
Well, thank you for that. I strive to be the person you just described. I would say there are three things that I do. One, I make sure to try to slow down and be present, and that's hard for me, but I really try to listen and listen intently. I have a physical practice that I do every day. I've done martial arts for decades. I think everybody should find some physical practice. It could be going out for hikes. It could be jogging, whatever it is. I think having something physical to get you grounded, to get you in your body. And then finally, I love to be outdoors. And I think getting outdoors can really help clear your mind, can help you get focused. And the best way for me to be outdoors is to walk with my wife or my friends. I'm a big fan of, at Stanford's business school where I teach, we call them TWALKs, talking and walking together. And I think that that's a really helpful way. So having being present oriented, having a physical practice, doing something outdoors, that's what really helps ground me, I think. And it helps me feel better.
Yeah, it's obviously it seems to be working really well, Matt. give us a last thought here as we send you off. Before you began this book to after, what have you learned? Give us some big takeaway that you'd like our listeners to leave with today.
So again, in a counterintuitive notion, you know, I am all about communication. I've been teaching communication for decades. In writing the book, the thing that just got more and more reinforced, and I'd known this for a while, listening is critical to effective communication. We must improve our listening skills hand in hand with our confidence to actually speak out our thoughts, write out our thoughts. We have to be present. We have to respect others and listen to what they say and take that as input for what we say in response. So many of us just broadcast our thoughts and feelings. We have to tailor them to the needs of the people we speak to. So the idea that listening is important was only more reinforced in the work I did preparing this book and preparing for all the other things I do as a result of it.
What a great way to end our conversation. You know, our guest has been Matt Abrams. He's the author of the new book, Think Faster, Talk Smarter, How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. Great, you know, back pocket stuff, great little acronyms you can memorize. Follow him on LinkedIn. I've got a copy of his book, and you should have one too. Go to the QR code, watch his videos. Really fun to have you, Matt. This is something that every business leader struggles with, whether it's at work and as we struggle in our personal lives, just to be, you know, engaged in our communities and with our families. So thanks so much again for finding the time. This has been a delight.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. It's been totally enjoyable.
So, Adrian, great advice on being, you know, put in the spotlight, you know, having to speak extemporaneously and all those things that cause us all kinds of anxiety in our personal and particularly our professional lives. I'm interested in what some of your big takeaways were.
Well, yeah, you know, you and I, we speak in front of sometimes thousands of people, sometimes small groups of, you know, all CEOs. We have, you know, sometimes intimidating groups that we'll speak in front of, and it's easy to be, you know, anxiety ridden. And I love what he's talking about is, look, this is not about being perfect. It's about connecting. And that really helped me years ago as I was doing these talks is to realize I'm not there to wow them and to make them laugh and things. If that happens, that's wonderful. I'm here to teach them something that I know that they want to learn. And they're here because they want to learn. And it's just a different way of thinking about it. And it takes the anxiety away as we're just trying to communicate and connect.
Yeah, I loved his idea about be interested, not interesting. You know, have some back pocket questions that you ask people. You know, one of my dad's favorite jokes was the guy at the bar with the beautiful woman, you know, that he's trying to impress, and she's going on. And finally she says, well, that's why I think I'm wonderful. Why don't you tell me why you think I'm wonderful? You know, this self-absorption, right? And we all get caught up in that. We want to be the most interesting person in the room instead of being the most interested person in the room. And I thought that was such a great takeaway. The way he broke down commercials, you know, problem, solution, benefit, that should be kind of your little list in messaging, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Just have that mapped out in your brain. These tips, absolutely, I thought were so good that give you structure. Yeah. So that you can be prepared to be spontaneous, which was another great takeaway.
Yeah, because you say you're at a business, you know, whatever meeting, and they say, oh, what do you do? And, you know, you have that ready to go. But as you said, well, you know, what makes you interested about, you know, your work? Somebody may ask you something like that. Well, hey, we're tackling this problem right now. Here's what we're working on. Here's how we think it'll benefit our clients or our stakeholders, et cetera. I mean, what a great little, you know, path to follow, three steps each time. And also a wonderful way to do job interviews. He talked about that, like an athlete prepares to be spontaneous. You know, a running back has thought 1,000 times about deking and going that way and, you know, whatever they do. Well, we've got to do the same, prepare to be spontaneous. You know, what is the key theme? Well, I'm detail oriented, as Matt said. Here's an example. That's wonderful. It's great advice.
Yeah, I loved his, I call it the power of the pause, but he talked about take a deep breath, you know, take a deep breath. And the magic is in the exhale, not the inhale. You take that big, and then the twice as long you exhale, and it just relaxes everything. It gives you a moment to kind of put that structure together and then be brilliant. You know, it's such great tips. I watched one of his videos on how to receive praise. Mm. And he's got this little acronym, TAKE. And I'm not going to spoil it for you because I want you to go watch it. sign up for his newsletter. Really wonderful little things that if we just take a deep breath, put that structure in place, we can you know, reduce anxiety, which is obviously the title of our podcast, and then really convey great ideas, be interested, be interesting, and take away that anxiety. I think what he's talking about, think faster, talk smarter, is just a brilliant mantra.
Yeah, oh, it really is. My last thought too was, you know, what can managers do? I think this was really great is, you know, reward people who speak up. Be really cognizant of this. Role model it yourself, But, you know, our good friend Scott O'Neill said that, you know, when he's a new leader of an organization, he'll actually encourage people to challenge him. They'll stop in the hall. Hey, next meeting, do this and tell them how to do this because he wants that. And I just love that. I love hearing your voice. I think that's a great
line. That really struck me. And the idea is last takeaways, be a better listener. You know, more and more since we've got to learn. What was that you said? Is to be better listeners. And, you know, I got to tell you, there's one guy that when he talks up, I always listen. And that's our producer, Brent Klein.
Absolutely.
You know, just words of wisdom. He takes our mess of a podcast that we record and he makes it sound really professional and really beautiful. And to Christy Lawrence, who helps us find amazing guests. And thank you to all of you who have listened in. If you like the podcast, please share it. We'd love to have you come visit our website as well, thecultureworks.com, for some free resources to help you and your team and your culture thrive.
Well, we also love speaking to audiences around the world, virtually or in person, on the topics of culture, leadership, teamwork, resilience, wellness. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about your event. I'm about to jump on a plane to Madrid. Chester, I think you're going to Topeka?
I don't think it's a Bend, Oregon. Yeah, it's not as big as Topeka. And Bend aspires to be Topeka.
That's right, we do. Hey, we love going to Bend and Topeka, wherever you want us to come. We'd love to talk to you about your event. So give us a call. And until next time, we wish you the best of mental health.